So the first thing I want to talk about, and this is the law. So remember the title of this was, what does it mean to have freedom in Christ? So the first thing I want to talk about is the law. Some church groups, I'm not going to mention who they are or what church groups I'm talking about, live under a set of laws and social expectations that can be absolutely smothering. This is because when a person's salvation is tied to their behaviour, their attitude and their appearance, a following set of rules that's attributed to those things, there can be little freedom to live or to make mistakes and grow. Right? Instead, they live in fear. A lot of church groups do this. A lot of big church groups do this. Instead, they live in fear. The result is living in a church system where appearance is important, where failure is looked down upon, and where your social status depends on your outward godliness. In such churches, people will put on a good face, proper smile, and not really share their serious issues in their lives. Such attitudes are ungodly. So it's a great thing that Jesus loves us in spite of what we are, in spite of our imperfections, or because we can keep ourselves from sinning, or because we have it all together, or because of our sincerity. Instead, he loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. The nature of love is to give. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Think about that for a minute. Would you give any, if you people that have got children, would you give any of your children to go and die for a whole group of people? Interesting thought. Love is not self-centered, but at times can be sacrificial. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There are a lot of people doing that in the world today. A lot of Christians are doing that in the world today in oppressed countries. God loves us because of him, not because of us. When we love God, it is a response to his first loving us. And just as a parent's love is not conditioned on the performance of a child, neither is God's love for us conditional on ours. But whenever there is a religious system that fails to stand on true gospel, the loving sacrifice of Christ alone, then there is no true indwelling of God. And because he is not really living inside of the person has to keep the laws and ordinances to make up the difference. He or she has to perform properly, has to do right, and to maintain that lifestyle in order to be accepted fully as a proper, spiritually mature person. These are people that live under law that I'm talking about. That is why religious groups that preach a false gospel will replace the truth with regulations. And it's really about, when you really stop and think about it, it's power and control that they're into. And just as a side issue, the modern form of witchcraft is power and control. Okay, anyway. They do so because they don't understand that the regulations, those laws of purity that they must keep to be acceptable to one another and to God, reveal their lack of true freedom in Christ. There is a simple principle found in Scripture that is applicable here. 1 Timothy 1:9. And everyone just looks past this one. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels and ungodly and sinful and unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, blah, 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 blah. You know the scripture. So the law is not made for us. Try to consider the law as an external set of rules that guide us through life. True Christians are not obligated to keep the laws of God in order to forgive, to be forgiven of their sins. If we are to be given, to be forgiven of our sins because we were perfect, we would never be saved. That's why Jesus had to come and do what he did. I'm sure we know all this, but I'm just reminding you of it. If that was the case, then salvation would be based on our ability. Okay, it would also mean that God would be showing favoritism by saving someone who has been good enough. Instead, the law is a guide for the true Christian, and the law helps us when we have doubts about what to do or not to do. That's all it's for, not like in the Old Testament. But it is not for keeping, it is not our keeping the law that makes us right before God or before each other. Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man be justified by faith, apart from works of the law. Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by what?
Faith.
We have what?
Peace
with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So never forget that. Just keep that in the back of your mind, Romans 5:1. I don't know about you, but I'm terrible at remembering scriptures. I have to have them on my phone. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good thing to keep. An interesting point here. Justification is the condition of being righteous before God according to the law. I won't go into that. But when we are Christians, we are indwelt by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, whom we receive on our conversion. John 14:23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." He lives in us. And because he does, we don't need that law, because we have him. That's right. That's not to say that it's okay to break the law of God. We should not steal, we should not lie, we should not murder, etc. Ten Commandments. They're all valid. But we're not bound by the law. Because I don't think we could keep them all anyway. That's why we're under grace. But when Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit that we received on conversion, and when we experience his love and his presence, then we keep the law because the love of God flows out of our heart. Yeah. So it's an inward thing flowing outward. Loving God and loving our neighbour is the fulfillment of the law. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." And what did he say to finish that off? All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Just two, not ten, just the two. All right. Freedom in Christ, Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed." John 8:32. like I said, and there's only 38 scriptures in this sermon. did I say John 8:32? Oh, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Exactly. You should all know that. John 8:36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. It's not just free, it's free indeed. Woohoo! That's really free. Acts 13:38-39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. They knew about slavery in those days. So one of the signs of being a true Christian, besides believing in the true gospel, is experiencing a sense of freedom. I think probably one of the confusing things that you had when you were told you didn't have the job, and then you had this thing going on, like, am I going to be happy or sad? It's all about freedom, you know. It's being free. Because maybe in years passed by you may have been really depressed, but you're not anymore. You're free. You see, you don't have those feelings. We realize that we do not have to keep the law in order to please God. We realize that God's favor upon us is not dependent upon our obedience or our law keeping. God's favor upon us is because of what Christ did on the cross. Therefore, we are free. Never forget it. Like I said the other week, we don't preach the cross enough in our churches. We only seem to do it at Easter. Easter? We are free to drink coffee, sip tea, watch a movie, dance, laugh, have a drink and enjoy life. Yes, we are free to do these things and other things, but without sin. You know that sin's about disobedience, isn't it? However, our freedom means that we must not stumble anyone else. I'll say that again. Now, freedom means that we must not stumble anyone else. We are not to be careless with our freedom. On the contrary, we are free to live and not have to worry about how our behavior affects God's attitude towards us, because his attitude is one of love and acceptance that is guaranteed by the sacrifice of Christ. But this is not to say he won't discipline us if we stray. After all, God disciplines those whom he loves. Hebrews 12:6. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens anyone he accepts as his son. So we must be careful not to use our freedom to stumble anyone else. Romans 14:21-22. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourselves and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Do you know that story? That's when the disciples that were kind of new. And they were going into places where they were doing things that they felt weren't godly. Okay, so they didn't want to condemn people. Not that they agreed with people, but sometimes it's best just to keep quiet, not say anything. Okay, 1 Corinthians 8:13. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I'll never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. So this is kind of around the same sort of stories as the differences in cultures, cultural differences. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. By the way, humility is an interesting thing. Humility does not make you a doormat. You can be very powerful in your humility. Ask God to talk to you about that one. So these, in a sense, are New Testament laws, but think about what they are, loving God and loving your neighbour. That's all New Testament. That's where we are now. Even your enemy. Loving your enemy. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We said that before. So let's look at dying with Christ to the law. There is a concept that many Christians are not aware of. As Christians, we have died with Christ and therefore have also died to the law. It means that the law has no more jurisdiction over us. You know what the word jurisdiction means? No longer are we bound by it or covered by it. Romans 7:1, do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. We died, we were reborn, remember? The law, we're not under law. So Romans 7:4, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Romans 7:6, but now my dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Galatians 2:19-20, for through the law I died, and to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me, and gave himself for me. Because we're in Christ. We're now in Christ. When we were baptized and spirit-filled and born again, we changed. We went through a transformation. You may not think it, but we did. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Romans 7:4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. The reason that all things are lawful to us as Christians is because we have died to the law, and the law has no jurisdiction over us. This means we are free. We are free to try and please God and fail, and realize that our failures do not sever our relationship with him, nor do they jeopardize our salvation. We are free indeed to succeed and fail. We are free to love God and love our neighbour. We are free to have fun, to not be perfect, to not have to please our friends in church or social acceptances and achieve spiritual worthiness. We can be failures. It don't matter. We are free to rest in Christ and in our freedom. we can explore what it means to live life and not live in fear. Some churches, some people live in fear. They have this vision of God up in the clouds with a big mean look looking down at them with a big stick ready to pounce on them. I don't know what God that is. And we all know this one. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay, so let's bow our heads and I'll pray. All right. Father God, again we thank you that yet again we have been led by your Holy Spirit to this place, to come freely to worship with our brethren, to freely worship you, O God. Lord, give us a true understanding of what it really means to be free. Father, free from ridicule, free from oppression, free from anxiety, free. Free from anything that would hold us back from knowing you. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and set us free, and set us free indeed. Thank you, Jesus, that you broke us free from the oppression of the law. And Lord Jesus, that we are now free under your grace, which is sufficient for us. Lord, not because we deserve it, but because your love for us is so great that you gave it to us freely. Blessings, Father. Amen.
So, thank you, can I speak in tongues?
Yeah,
go. I-summarize ko lang ng konti yung sinabi ng pastor. Kalayaan, or law, freedom, sorry. Anong Tagalog sa law?
Batas.
Batas. Kalayaan sa batas na ipinunda ng tao, lalo na sa maraming simbahan na dapat hindi pwede magsuot ng pantalon, kailangan mahabang damit, mahabang buhok, all of this. Kalayaan sa batas na inilagay ng tao. Hindi lang kalayaan sa batas ng tao, kalayaan din sa ating sarili. That we have to restrict. Example, pag mahal na araw, bawal tumawa. Pag may namatay, hindi pwede magpamanicure. Kasi I remember last week that my yung tiyo ko ay namatay, pati yung pinsan ko. Nag-uusap kami ng mga kamag-anak ko, napatingin ako sa kuko ko. Sabi ko, dapat yung pamanicure muna ako. Sabi nila, bawal. Sabi pa, may namatay. Bawal tumawa, kasi may namatay. Okay, maraming bawal. With Jesus, wala na tayong bawal. Kasi pisinam niya lang ang dalawang mahalin ng Diyos, mahalin ng kapatao, at mahalin ang iyong sarili. So kung mahal natin, hindi tayo gagawa ng mga kasira ng iba. So, hindi lang yun, sinulat ko yung iba niya sinabi, pero English pa rin. So, hindi, restriction din sa sarili natin, sasabihin natin, hanggang dito na lang ako. We're not. This is all what I am, this is all what I can do. Freedom. Kalayaan sa kasukatan natin sa ating sarili na wala na akong magagawa dahil ang kalayaan, freedom is not na nirestricto natin ang sarili. Bilang anak ng Diyos, napakalaki pa ng bagay na pinaplano niya sa atin. Freedom to succeed and fail. Yung katulad ng testimony ni Sister Eva, nagkaroon siya ng freedom kasi pinakita ng Diyos kung ano talaga ang para sa kanya. Hindi yung porque hindi natin nagkuha what we did not get. Sabi natin talagang malas ako sa buhay. Talagang wala na akong pag-asa. No. As long as we are with Christ, we have hope. And the freedom na alisin natin sa sarili na tayo ay mababa, maliit, brown, hindi marunong tayo masyadong pagsalita ng English, hindi yan limitasyon. With God, there is no limitation. So, to live life, binigyan tayo niya ng buhay, live it. He gave us life, live it. Not in fear, na baka anong sasabihin ng tao. It is very low. Huwag tayong mabuhay na. Ang measurement natin ay yung sasabihin ng tao. Okay? Ang measurement natin is anong sasabihin ng Diyos. Amen? Not what people will say, but what God will say. So, yun ang freedom na sinabi ng ating pastor. Pagkatapos ng 31 scriptures, siguro naman, maniniwala tayo na yun ang freedom. Can we invite the music team? This time, tama na to, ha? Okay. And let's praise the Lord again, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand up and we continue to worship.
Yeah.
ask the Lord. We sing for you alone, O Lord Jesus. Thank you. For you are holy. worship you in spirit and in truth. For you are the Lord of Lords, and you are our supreme God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We give you glory for this time that we are able. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to give you praise and worship. And thank you for your Holy Spirit who is in the midst of us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and anointing and blessing upon us and for empowering us. We thank you, Lord, for sanctifying us to be worthy to give you glory and praise. And for forgiving us for our sins. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dean. Before we go on the closing of prayer, my other brother, our brother, Dennis, this is a time for prayer. I was talking to God. A few people in this prayer right now. So, we wanting to ask our brother Ruel. We pray for you. And we will also pray for Randy and his sister for Jerome. We will pray for our brother and sister June and Mabel. We will pray for our pastor. We will pray for our sister Eva and her new venture. Could you come, brother? Can we ask the elders to pray for it? Our brother, well, seems to be on a crossroad. Sorry. Pastor.
Father, we lift up my brother, Lord. That, Father, you know what's going on in his heart, Father. Lord, you know the turmoil. Father, we just ask for peace, the peace beyond all understanding, Father, that he knows within himself that you have it in control. Father, you've always got it in control, even during those times that we feel hardship, that we feel it's impossible, that we feel absolutely depleted, that we feel nothing, that you are there in control. Bless you, Father, that you do this. You proved it in my life. I'm sure you're going to prove it in this. Bless you, Father, that whatever the outcome will be, your outcome. Bless you. Bless you, Father. Bless you.
We also like to pray for Brother Randy. Is he Randy? Okay. We pray. Can we pray for Brother Randy and his sisters? For God brought him here. He has his reasons. Randy is in search of a job for someone that calling us on his behalf.
This is like a handkerchief.
Yeah. We have the wife and the daughter.
The wife and the daughter?
Yeah.
Father, bless this family, Lord, that you've got it in control. Father, they're not here by chance or by fluke, but that you've drawn them here by your Spirit. Father, the same Spirit that is in them at conversion relates to you, Father. Lord, we just pray for an income for this family, for a job for Randy, Lord, that a job just fall into his lap, Lord. But you've got it in control, Lord. And we just believe this. We believe, Father, that you won't leave us desolate, that you will always provide our means, and that you always give us the desire of our heart. And if our desire is to have work, there it will be. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Sister Eva, I believe
you're
an new venture. Do you want us to pray for your new venture? Why not? Let's give everything to God, isn't it?
Sister. Father, we just live up, we lift up this lovely woman, Lord, that Father, you have given her the desire of her heart. And so, Father, you know what that is because you gave it to her, Lord, that we just ask for everything to be, to come into fruition, Lord, yes. That everything would fall into place, Lord, that there be no effort, and that Eva would know that you are there, that she have a peace beyond her understanding, Lord, and she'll have freedom in your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Anybody who needs prayer, Brother Robert, are you all right? Everything is in God's hands. Yes. I know you have the desire to bring your family here. So you've got to ask God corporately. Anything that we pray together?
Robert.
Oh, really?
Robert from Kathmandu.
Yes, for his family to come and for the need of vehicles. Do you have your car now? Yeah, so we just let whatever God provide you.
Just keep that name ahead of him. Father, we just pray for Robert, Lord, we lift him up. Father, that his family would come here, Lord, that you've already got that in mind, you've already got that under control. Father, that all things would just fall into place, that those things, those desires of his heart, that Father, you'd reach, you just touch on those things because you have those things planned for him also. Father, again, with him, Father, give him that peace beyond understanding, Lord. We don't want all this upheaval in our hearts and our minds, Father. Just give us peace. Give us peace and give us power and strength in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, we also would like to pray for our brother June and Mabel, who are in the Philippines, that they will be protected and they will spread the word of the Lord. So can we have a short prayer? Yes. So Holy Father, we lift up our hands for our brother Jude and our sister Mabel. Father, wherever they are, oh God, we pray for their safety. We pray that they bring your word wherever they go. That you will be using them, oh Father, as you use every one of us. Bless them, Lord, and let the weight of your glory fall upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we also pray for our pastor? For wisdom and more wisdom from God. There's so many prayers I wanted you to share with us. So let's lift up our hand. Man to man. Okay, you have your
man to man.
Yeah.
Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we lift you up. We lift your name on high, Father, Lord. We come into your presence today. We bring forth the life of our pastor. You may equip him with the wisdom and knowledge with regards to your word so that he can impart everything that he knows, Father. He can inspire more people. He can be, a living testimony of how good, how great you are, Lord.
Yes.
We know that we are not perfect, you know, human as we are as a church, but we thank you that you're keeping us intact, and you keep molding us to be your children. Father, we thank you for the blessing for the life of our pastor, for this church as well. And Lord, you may continue to give a healthy life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially as well, Father. We bring you back and we bring this at your feet for today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we pray also for a blessed birthday for our brother Billy.
William. Billy Jr. That's right, he doesn't have to come up.
Billy Jr.
Willie Jr.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right. That's fine. I'll pray for you from here, Willie. Yoo-hoo.
Yes.
Bless that little boy, Willie.
Yes.
Father, just fill him with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, have a good day. Amen.
How about Willie, the birthday boy?
Oh, and the birthday boy, sorry. He's not here.
Yeah, perhaps.
Right, yes, that's right.
Yes.
At work. Oh, bless him at work, Father. Father, bless him at work. Let him know that right now we're praying for him. Lord, that we're lifting him up, Father, that we want him to have a special invitation of the Holy Spirit right now, right at the second.
Amen.
And Father, we command the blessing in the name of Jesus,
yes,
right now.
Yes, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
And give him the wisdom, O Father, to know you more, and to seek for you, O Father, because you said, you seek and you shall find. So, Father, your anointing over our brother, Willie, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, can you call on Brother Dennis to end our service today with a closing prayer? And then we can enjoy the birthday celebration.
So everything has prayed. Lord Jesus, thank you for all the marvelous things you have done today. Thank you for your love that you revealed to us, Lord, and for the love that we share together as your body. We pray for all the words that you have sown into our hearts, so Lord, this day. Things of beauty and great blessings to many. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yeah, just quickly, can I have the music team, the people that are involved in music, who if you're singing or playing or whatever you're doing, just up here, just quickly.
Sister Emma.
Just quickly. All the music thing. Just singers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a couple of teams because we've got quite a lot of singers now. So this kind of team we had here is team one, but and then we'll have team two. Now over the top of that team is Alma's in charge of all of the music stuff. So if you've got any queries, go to Alma. And just feel free to talk to each other about anything. You know, don't be shy. You're not going to offend anyone. If you get offended, they'll come and talk to me. And offense shouldn't be a thing that happens here. We should be able to talk freely to everyone. Okay. And we're a really good team. Good team. Good songs. Good music. We're getting our gear up to scratch. And you're all a blessing. Really are. Yes.
On the 30th of June, we're invited the music team to have a couple of three songs during the service. So it's up to you what you will sing and what you.
So think about that.
Our anniversary.
So we're going there.
Yeah, June 30, 2 o'clock p.m. at St. Mary's Presbyterian Hall. We'll just do carpooling. I can have four of you.
Yeah. So we'll probably just take our guitar.
So you just
30,
10 days.
After our church, yeah, after our church, we go there. So it's up to you to.
So we just need what three songs that we
yeah,
know really well.
Three, yeah.
So talk about that between yourselves. I'll keep out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you need to know anything, just fire it to Alma. Jeez.
And I'll ask you.
And then she'll come to me. There's got to be a pecking order. Yeah. And there's got to be someone in charge.
God is in charge. Can you pray for the food? Anybody?
Yeah. Alma will pray for the food.
Father God, we thank you for your provision for our lunch today. Thank you, Lord, for all the people who contributed. Yes. Bless them, O Lord God. Give them back, give it back to them, Lord God. With good health, Lord God, to continue doing their jobs and earning incomes, Lord God. Thank you for all your blessings, abundance. May this food be
nourishing to our physical body, as you have done today for us. You have nourished our spirit, O Lord God, with your word. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, would you like to...